Jerusalem, the future metropolis of the world. As we read this title of our address this afternoon, we can almost hear the skeptic saying, surely that man must be joking. Jerusalem, the future metropolis of the world. How many times over these last 60 years or so has Jerusalem, with its tinderbox Palestinian, Jewish-Palestinian problem, almost brought this world into war? Almost daily there are reports in the media of conflict in the area. The presidents of America have met, as many presidents of the world, to try to solve the Jewish-Palestinian problem concerning the land of Israel, and in particular, the city of Jerusalem. That there are reports, as we say, daily from the area of problems and trouble. The Jews claiming Jerusalem is theirs. The Palestinians saying Jerusalem is theirs. And they even want to annihilate the Jews and the state of Israel. They want to drive them into the sea. But the Jews lost many, many lives to win back Jerusalem from the Jordanians who held it in the 1967 war with the Arab nations. And they have vowed they will never let it go. It is their city, and they will never let it go. Over the centuries, much blood has been shed over Jerusalem. Yet this afternoon, we aim through the Word of God to prove that before very long, shortly, Jerusalem shall live up to the meaning of its name, City of Peace, and become the future metropolis of the world. And that the Jews, which are scattered throughout the world at the present time, will be brought back. They will be gathered to that land of Israel. And the city, Jerusalem, will be ruled over by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and his faithful saints. Those who have in their lives accepted him, have been baptized into his saving name, and have walked faithfully before him. How, it might be asked, can we stand here this afternoon and make such a bold statement against such odds? The answer is because God, who can see the end of the matter from the very beginning, has declared in his word that the Jerusalem shall become the metropolis of the world, and that Christ shall be its future king, and the government shall be the faithful of the ages. In fact, this is the very gospel that Jesus preached while he was on earth. He preached the good news of the kingdom of God that would be set up upon this earth at his return. These very things are spoken of numerously in the Bible. And in particular, we would like to go to the Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and chapter 9 and verse 6, where Isaiah the prophet speaks of these wonderful things that are to come upon the earth, and in particular, that city of the great king, Jerusalem. Chapter 9 and verse 6. The prophet Isaiah speaking to the children of Israel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God has said that it will be so, and we can be assured it shall be ensured that it will be so. Considering the terrible state of the earth at present, Jerusalem a troublesome stone for all nations, one might ask, when and how is that wonderful time likely to come shortly upon the earth? Concerning the time, we are told neither the day nor the hour, but we are left in no doubt that it will come upon the earth. And as we shall see through the scriptures this afternoon, it will come at a time of which the Lord Jesus Christ said, when this earth shall be as it was in the days of Noah, when God's judgment came upon the earth and he flooded the whole earth and all men perished except Noah and his family. Such was the judgment that God inflicted upon the earth because of their wickedness. And so it is. The Apostle Paul tells us in the Acts of the Apostles that God would once again judge this earth by that man whom he has ordained, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He whom he raised from the dead shall return to this earth to judge this earth, says the Apostle Paul in the Acts of the Apostles. God, in his word, has revealed to those who have prepared to study the scriptures signs of when and how near enough that these times are to come upon the earth. And to consider one of these signs this afternoon, we would like to turn first of all to the prophet Daniel. For to Daniel the prophet, God revealed the history of the world from his day, that is from Daniel's day, right through to the day in which you and I live, and then on until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth and the setting up of that glorious kingdom that is promised. These things were revealed to Daniel, this prophet of God, in a unique way. They were revealed to him in a unique way. Daniel had been taken as a young man captive from Jerusalem with many of his countrymen at that time by that mighty king Nebuchadnezzar and taken to Babylon. This great king Nebuchadnezzar had subdued and brought the whole known world to his feet. Such a mighty monarch he was. He brought the whole known world to his feet. And one night, while upon his bed and unable to sleep, this mighty king dreamed and considered what would become of his kingdom after his day. What would become of the vast empire that he ruled over after his day, which was 605 to 526 BC. When daybreak came, try as he may, the king could not bring the dream to mind, and so he sought the assistance of the wise men of Babylon, that they might tell him the dream. They were his wise men. He had brought wise men from all nations and brought them to him that they would answer all his problems, because they were the wisest men of his day. And he thought, they will reveal the dream to me and its meaning. But they could not. They said to him, "Tell us the dream and we will tell you the interpretation." But he was wiser than they, and he said that they were to tell him the dream and the interpretation, but it was beyond them. Only God can reveal the future. None other man on earth can reveal the future, and God will reveal it to whomsoever he will. And he reveals this thing to his prophet Daniel. In his disappointment and anger, the king issued a royal decree threatening the wise men with death unless they brought forth the dream and the understanding of it. Daniel, who was one of the wise men though of Babylon, was involved in this edict, and he turned to God in prayer that God would answer him, that he would indeed be able to tell Nebuchadnezzar the dream. And God, the God of Israel, answered him by revealing the dream and giving its interpretation. And coming before this great monarch, Daniel reveals to the king the desired information. And this desired information is as important, if not more important, for us today than what it was to Nebuchadnezzar in his. Let us look at the dream, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 32. Here's the dream in a nutshell. Verse 31 for connection. "Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth." This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation, therefore, before the king. So here now we have the interpretation of the dream. "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee a ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mix themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. In effect, Daniel tells the king that his empire, Babylon, was the head of gold. You, said Daniel to the king, shall rule the entire world, the known world, a mighty empire indeed. After your days shall arise another kingdom, not as powerful as your kingdom, which history has shown to us to be the Medo-Persian Empire, which came to power in 519 BC. So the head of gold of the image gave way to the breast and arms of silver, according to the image, a metal inferior to gold. In the year BC 333, at the Battle of Issus, this mighty power of Persia was broken by Alexander the Great of Greece, which represented in the image the belly and thighs of brass, an inferior metal to silver. Then after the sudden death of Alexander the Great, his kingdom was divided among his four generals, which in turn were conquered by a new power in the earth that arose out of the west, the Roman Empire. This fourth empire, we are told, shall be as strong as iron, according to the legs of the image, once again an inferior metal, which shall break and subdue all things, we read, describing the ruthlessness of Rome in its march to power. Rome was as iron. It was a ruthless power as it marched and made its empire. Now the Roman Empire, which was the fourth empire in the dream, represented by iron, was never conquered. It was never conquered by another mighty power. Rome deteriorated from within. It was rotten and it deteriorated from within. Daniel, in his prophecy, does not speak of another universal empire of men coming to power. He clearly indicates there will be four world empires and then a division. First into two parts, the legs of the image, when the capital of the Roman Empire was transferred from the city of Rome to Constantinople in the east. So we had an eastern and what was called a western Rome. Then the empire is divided into the 10 toes of the image. Those 10 toes, which was part of iron and part of clay. And it speaks of the divided Europe as we see it today, in which some nations are strong and some nations are weak. But there is no fifth universal kingdom of men. There is no fifth kingdom of men spoken in the prophecy. And history has shown there has been only four. Many have tried to build up that empire, as did Hitler and so forth. But there has only been four universal empires: Babylon, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and the Roman. And there will be only four empires of men. That is certain, because God has it decreed that it will be. The fifth empire, when there shall come a ruler over the whole earth, shall be a divine kingdom. It shall be a divine kingdom, that of the Lord Jesus Christ and the faithful saints. And that empire will never lose its sway. It will never give way to any other kingdom. It will become, and Jerusalem will become the metropolis of that wonderful time, the city of the great king. So going back to the dream, the king saw a metal image stand upon his feet. He saw the image stand upon his feet, united as a whole by the confederation together of the various nations that exist upon the territories covered by the image, which are at present antagonistic one with the other. But as the prophecy in Ezekiel and other prophets reveal, that the king of the north of Israel is Russia. Russia will accomplish this binding together as the clay binds the iron and the clay of the feet of the image together. Russia will bind these nations together, first by subduing Turkey, incorporating Persia, or Iran as it is called today, under its influence, which you and I can see happening at the present time. We can see the influence of Russia in Iran at the present time. When the world is against Iran for having nuclear power, Russia is the very one supplying Iran with the very things needed for that power. And then we see Russia exerting the pressure and the power upon Europe, bringing Europe into influence, as we see this also happening today, especially as Russia has more of the natural energy than any other country in Europe, and she is holding Europe to ransom with the energy, the power that she has in gas and in coal and in electricity, etc. Then, as we see this happening around us today, as we heard from this platform last week, when our speaker told of Russia and her confederates descending upon the land of Israel in war, with Tarshish, that is Britain, and her confederate nations asking her, "Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to take away much silver and to take away gold, etc.? Are you going down there to strip that land of its wealth?" Now, should Russia become victorious in that mighty grasp for power, without doubt, Russia would become the fifth world empire in the world, because she would have all of Asia, all of Europe, Iran, Turkey, and all these other nations. She would become a fifth world empire. But God has said that there will be no fifth empire of men. And as our speaker brought out last week, Russia shall come to her end and all her confederates upon the mountain of Israel. God will not be mocked. He has stated in his word, the fifth world empire to be set up upon this earth shall be that in which his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall rule in righteousness and peace. There has been 6,000 years of man's rule and man's wickedness, and men have fought one with the other for power in the world. But the time has come when God shall judge the earth by his Son, who shall rule this earth in righteousness and peace. So going back to the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, we are told that when the image shall stand upon its feet in all its power and being top heavy, as we might say, it shall be brought down by that stone of which we read, taken out of the mountain without hands or human intervention. the stone, smashing it upon its feet, it comes crashing down. The image and all that it meant comes crashing down, just as that confederacy of nations shall be destroyed upon the mountains of Israel. They shall be destroyed upon the mountains of Israel, all those that go up against Jerusalem to battle. And then we're told the stone grinds the image to powder, and the stone power fills the whole earth. That is the mighty power of God, invested in Christ and the saints. After destroying Russia upon the mountains of Israel, as we heard last week from this platform, all those that come upon Jerusalem, even Britain, Tarshish and her confederates, shall be judged. And then that stone, we read, fills the earth. The stone, after destroying them, that image, fills the whole earth, so that the kingdoms of men, the kingdoms of men, of which that image was but a type, is brought to naught. That image, which is a type of these nations of which we have spoken, is struck upon the feet and comes crashing down and is ground to powder, which the wind blows away, we read. By the power of God, these nations shall be destroyed, and in its place shall arise that kingdom of God which the Lord Jesus proclaimed in his ministry would come and would fill the earth. Let us turn to Psalm 2 to see how the psalmist explains these very things and predicts the very things that we've been reading about and speaking about this evening. Here we read, the psalmist tells us, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said to me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And that's what we have just read in the prophecy of Daniel. And they are told, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Turn to Psalm 149, where once again the psalmist speaks of this time. Psalm 149 and 149. And verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations, and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honour of all his saints, praise ye the Lord. Turn again to Daniel chapter 2, to that chapter we read, Daniel chapter 2. And we read in verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Turn to chapter 7 of Daniel and verse 26. And there we read, "And the judgment shall set, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Yes, as we can imagine, this will be a time of terrible trouble for the people upon the earth. In fact, we won't turn to it now, but you can turn to it in your own time. If you turn to the 12th chapter of Daniel, Daniel predicts that time to be a time of trouble such as never has been known upon the earth until there was a nation. A time when God shall judge all nations. For as the Lord Jesus Christ said in his day, "As were the days of Noah, so shall be the days of the Son of Man." Terrible judgments are predicted for man upon the earth. And after these judgments have passed, after the judgments upon the nations, the very kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples to pray for would be set up. Christendom believes in going to heaven when they die, to heavenly bliss. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yes, that kingdom will be upon the earth. So we ask the question, where shall the Christ rule from when he sets up that kingdom? We think of, you know, he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of all nations. The whole world will be in his sway. Where will he set up his capital? London, Paris, New York, Berlin, the choice will be his. Anywhere on the earth would be his choice if he wanted it. But God has already chosen the place, the metropolis of the world. Turn with me to Psalm 132. Psalm 132. And verse 11. "The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children also shall sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Yea, will I dwell, for I have desired it." We can't have it plainer, can we? We can't have it plainer. The Lord hath chosen Zion. Zion, Jerusalem in Israel. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever, for I have desired it. As the creator and the sustainer of this earth, God, who is wiser than man, than anyone upon earth, will choose the best place for a universal kingdom. He will know where best to place his kingdom. And Jerusalem in the land of Israel is at the junction of the three great continents of Africa, Asia, and Europe, with direct access by sea, both westwards to the Atlantic and eastwards to the Indian Ocean and the Far East. What an ideal place for the metropolis of the world. Israel lies roughly at the center of the world's land masses. What an ideal situation to enable men and women from throughout the world in that day and in that kingdom to come from where they live to Jerusalem to worship God. To worship God and to learn of his ways. For all men will be commended to do so. Turn with me to Isaiah and chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation any more, neither shall they learn war any more. What a wonderful age when men and women throughout the earth will go to Jerusalem to worship God and indeed to walk in his ways and to have peace on earth. In that day there will be no vying among the nations for the earth's energy resources as we see today. In Russia, I mean the rule, as we might say, over the earth because of the energy resources that she has. There will be no rivals for power because there will only be one power in the earth, and that power has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and from Jerusalem he will execute that power. The prophets and the apostles write, after this, that is after the judgments upon the nations, I will return. That is that the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this earth, and I will build again the tabernacles of David, that illustrious king of Israel who ruled over Israel in the past, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof. And I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. That kingdom that was destroyed in the past because of Israel's iniquity and faithlessness will once again be built up, and Christ will sit on the very place where David, the illustrious king of Israel, sat when he ruled over Israel. The angels present when Christ ascended into the heavens said to the disciples, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Why stand looking up at Jesus going into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is to return to the earth, not this time as a lamb to the slaughter, but this time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to execute vengeance on them that know not God and believe not the gospel. He is going to judge this earth because this earth is so wicked that God is sending Christ to judge it. But to those that have taken upon themselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism, those that have walked faithfully before him in their lives shall have a part and a place in that glorious kingdom. And love, as the people might around us, those people who have come from poor beginnings shall become kings upon this earth and priests to God. Turn with me to the book of Revelations and chapter 5. The book of Revelations and chapter 5 and verse 9. To those that have been found faithful when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, faithful ones, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And unto every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. The Lord Jesus Christ shall indeed become a great and wonderful ruler over the whole earth. This kingdom age will be one of righteousness and peace throughout the whole earth. The psalmist in his 37th psalm declares, Evildoers shall be cut off. The judgments of God will cut off the evildoers from this earth, that those that wait on the Lord, as they promised, were promised, they shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. In that day, as we read in Isaiah chapter 2, that glorious temple will be set up upon the earth in Jerusalem. And from this magnificent edifice, built for the honor and glory of God, as revealed by the prophet Ezekiel, shall the laws of God go forth. All men and women from throughout the earth will be commanded to go up year by year to worship God and indeed to walk in his commandments, and it shall be a delight. It shall be a delight for the people of this earth to go up to Jerusalem, to that wonderful place, to praise and to worship in the beauty of holiness, and to learn of God's righteous laws and walk in them. In that age, every man shall sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. There will be no needs of bars and locks upon the door, and burglar alarms and so forth, and lighting all round the houses. Every man will be able to sit under his own vine, under his own fig tree, and none shall make him afraid. Isaiah tells us that Jerusalem shall be a praise in the earth. Turn with me to Isaiah 62. Isaiah chapter 62. and verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt be also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. That's Israel. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. For I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. He that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And as our president chose that psalm before we got up, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those that love thee, those faithful apostles that gave their lives in the proclaiming of these wonderful things, the gospel of the kingdom to the nations, were told by their Lord before he entered into heaven. In the regeneration, he said, when the Son of Man shall sit upon his sit in glory, he shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Those apostles who gave their life for their master shall be a part of that government with Christ in that day. Considering these glorious things, can we surely more clearly understand the desire of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, and all those who long for that day to dawn, praying earnestly for the peace of Jerusalem. It is at the heart of all who believe in the promises of God. For then they realize it is only then there shall be peace on earth and goodwill among men. For the last quotation, shall we turn to Psalm 122? Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they that shall prosper that love thee. Pray be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. That glorious time is about to come upon the earth. God is going to judge the earth. And after the judgments, that glorious time when Jerusalem shall be a joy in the earth shall be set up. Will you be there? Will you be there in that day, enjoying that wealth and peace and prosperity and joy? Will you be there? We make that answer now, for these are the days of salvation.